And we've been going through that. In the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about this idea of our faith in action and putting our faith, what we believe and what we know to be true, it actually spills out of our lives into the actions that we put forth with our physical bodies. In the first week, we talked about this concept of persecution and trials that we have, and remembering that the trials that come into our life are going to come no matter if you believe in Christ or not. Trials happen, but we can take those things, we can learn from them, we can persevere, and it produces righteousness in our life when we learn and our faith is matured. And then the week after that, we talked about this putting the Word into practice. The things that are planted in our lives, the things that are planted must grow, and so therefore they grow in us. If we allow them, if we cultivate them, it produces fruit. Our faith must produce fruit if it's planted. If it's going to grow, it must produce fruit, or it's truly not been planted. We make sure we do not deceive ourselves. James says that several times. Make sure we do not deceive ourselves. And last week we talked about authenticity. That often we can take something we're not quite sure is real, and we just let it live out its lifespan. And in that lifespan, it will then tell us whether it's real or not. If you put on a fake gold ring, it will turn your finger green. Through life living out, we see things to be truly what they are. Actions expose authenticity. And so today we're not going to fall too far from that in chapter 3, but it's dealing more with words than actions. And so you would think James is all about action and putting our faith in action. But today he's going to talk about words in a different way. But I think it all points back to that idea that we put our faith in action. So we have our pot. Does anybody think they know what it is? Don't say it out loud. Do they think they know what it's made of? Who thinks they know what it's made of? I knew Sandy would know. Don't tell them, James. Don't tell them. So I'll give you a hint. It's biodegradable. Okay? But I got a video I want to show you that might help bring some clarity to the pot. Has anybody smelled it yet? Smell like cardboard, kind of, sort of? Okay. Anybody licked it yet? Okay. It didn't taste like anything. But it's created from something and is now this pot. But what it started as really didn't change. It's still the same stuff. It's just in a different shape. So I think this video will help bring some clarity. This is from the TV show Dirty Jobs. Anybody seen the TV show Dirty Jobs? It's a good show. This was 21 minutes of stuff, and I had to condense it down. So it is like 6 minutes long, so bear with it. But I think it will be helpful to understand where these type of pots come from. So let's watch. So whoever thought they'd come to church and talk about poo? So who knows what this is? It's actually peat moss, because I couldn't find the poo ones. They didn't sell them in town. At least I couldn't find them. But it's the same concept. Same concept. It's biodegradable. You plant it, and it goes away, and it adds fertilizer to your plant. What we are going to see today, and we're going to read in just a second, that it doesn't matter what comes out the business end. Whatever you put on the front end is still the same when it comes out. It may look a little different. It may smell a little different. It may feel a little different. It may taste a little different. But it's still the same. At the very end, he talked about the energy. When the cow actually sits and eats grass or grain or whatever it is, that's energy contained inside that plant. Whenever they relieve it and let it go, it's still energy. And he takes it and he captures it and he reforms it. But it's still the same thing. Your body cannot change what it truly is just simply by passing it. He could not turn poop into something completely different. At the end of the day, that pot was still, you can say it out loud with me, poo. It was still the same thing. He is not magic. You can't put a chicken at the end of a tube and have him walk out and a turkey come out the other side. Just doesn't happen that way. A goose can't sit down to a plate of birdseed and then lay golden eggs. Just doesn't work that way. You can't take a rock, put it inside of something, and gold come out. Matter of fact, they used to believe they could. It's called alchemy. You used to be able to change things from one state to another state. They tried, these alchemists tried and tried and tried. And then they realized they couldn't, so they started faking people into believing they could do it. But the reality is, of whatever goes in will come out, is a true statement. And we can read that in James chapter 3. We're going to kind of break it up and go backwards and forwards a little bit. So we're actually going to start in chapter 3, verse 9, and read through 12 first. It says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made into God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." We cannot produce something if it's truly not in us. And this is what James is telling us. That if we do not have God and the Holy Spirit living inside of us, it will not come out. Whatever's living in our souls, that's what's going to come out. And he talks about that in the earlier passage when he talks about this idea of the tongue. We cannot take something that's not in us and produce something that we would like. Eventually, the truth about who we are on the inside will come out. The authenticity of our faith, the authenticity of who we truly are, if we truly belong to Christ, will come out. Just let it live out just a little bit. So we're going to back up into the first part of chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 9. It says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault, it is what in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by men, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." The truth is, the words that come out of our mouths are a window to the content of our souls. You can't say, and this is what I think is very funny about our culture, you can't say something, let's say you say some racial slur. You can't pack that away and put it away just by simply going walking in, say, an MLK parade. You can't put that away. Because what comes out of your mouth truly is a picture of what's in your soul. There was a politician during the election back in 08 who was joking with his buddy on Facebook. Does anybody remember this story? And he was making fun of Michelle Obama and comparing her family to a tribe or a group of monkeys. Anybody see this? Anybody remember this story? He wasn't actually a politician. He was more like a pundit who kind of talked to people. He was actually a real estate agent. But he was also not very smart with technology because he was talking on Facebook. Now, if you've ever been on Facebook before, you know that a friend of a friend of a friend can read what you wrote. He didn't know that. So he was riding back and forth with a friend, talking about all this stuff, and then a friend of a friend of a friend was a reporter at a newspaper, and he read it. Whoops. You can't undo that. You can't put that back. Matter of fact, he lost his job. And he wasn't even a politician. He lost his job because the real estate agency that he worked for wanted to separate themselves from that. So they fired him. There's no backing off of that. There's no, it was a conversation between me and my buddy. We were just joking around. I really, truly don't. There's no unpacking that. Our tongues have the power to expose truly what's on the inside. To expose the authenticity of our souls. And so Peter, and then James keeps going on. He talks about this idea of control in verse 7. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no one can tame the tongue. And we try. Oh, do we try? I mean, all of us have been guilty of saying something and went, wow, I shouldn't have said that. Right? Maybe that was the wrong time, the wrong place. We can't control our tongues. We've been given control of many things. In Genesis, God talks about having dominion over the earth and taking control and having animals and doing all those things, but our tongue gets us in trouble all the time. I mean, we've all been there. We've all said things to our spouses that we shouldn't have said, the wrong place, you know, you're cooking a meal in your kitchen and you look over and say to your wife, well, Mom didn't cook it like that. Right? People are punching each other. Not the right time, not the right place. Truly in your mind, you're thinking, this is not going to taste as good as Mom, so really I probably would rather not eat this, so what can I say to see if I can alter the outcome of this food in this moment? So I'll say, well, Mom didn't cook it like that. If we were actually to say out loud what we were truly thinking, it would even be worse. So hopefully you just get away and just with a punch in the arm and that's it. Maybe not dinner that night. You have to cook your own dinner. But we can't control the tongue. Not because we don't have the power, not because we don't have the capacity to watch our words, because we do. I mean, we do all the time. People think things and they go, wow, I should never say that out loud. We do that all the time. But over time, the content of your soul will bear out through your words. Because control comes from content, not from your own power. James 3:13. So we'll skip down to the 13. We'll skip over 9 through 12. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter, envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, then you find disorder and evil practice, and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is the first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So there's two sources of content, two sources of content for our souls. Well, the first one is the world, is the devil, is sin. And when we begin to harbor bitterness, envy, ambition, selfish ambition. We harbor things that cause disorder and evil. Those are the things that if we harbor those things, those are going to play out. They're going to come out. You can't help it. It's going to happen. But the things of heaven are this good life, are deeds, humility, wisdom, purity, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And this is where then he now marries words and deeds back over again, where he says that this wisdom from heaven is full of mercy and good fruit. And again, it grows and has action to it. Is impartial to others and sincere. So then James brings focus to our actions as well as our words, our deeds. And that they have to have a source beyond ourselves. Because if we ourselves sinful, full of sin, because of the fall of man, because of the life that we lead outside of God, they have to have a source. Verse 12 he says, again, brothers, a fig tree cannot bear olives, a grapefruit bear figs, a salt spring cannot produce fresh water. You cannot get a drink of water from a salt spring and be refreshed. Actually, if you drink salt water, what happens? You die. If you're stranded on the ocean, don't drink the water, because you will die. It will dehydrate you and kill you. We have to have a fresh source. So what is the content of your soul? Because what you've put in is the only thing that can come out. It may smell different. It may look different, but it's still the same thing. You cannot put poo in on one end and get perfume out the other. It's impossible. So what informs your worldview? What informs you? What are the things that feed your soul? Is it the news? Is it your particular news 24-hour newsreel you watch on a weekly basis, maybe a daily basis? Maybe you're a little more sophisticated than that and you get all your news from the internet. Because we know everything on the internet is true. Does that inform your worldview? What you read, what you hear? What about pop culture? Television shows you watch, the things you read in magazines. Do you think you help the needy and poor now because it's fashionable? Or because Christ is the content of your soul? Because it's very fashionable now to do that. Now, Haiti's a tragic thing, and I'm glad we're helping. We're helping out with that. But so is the rest of the world. Tomorrow, Haiti will disappear. Well, so will your need and desire to help those in need. Do you weigh all things that you hear against the gospel, against what the scripture says? Do you weigh all things that you hear, all things that you read, all things? Do you begin to see the things that the world says out loud with a discerning eye instead of just taking it because someone says it to be true? Do you take what I say with a discerning eye, because you should. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we see this ship analogy used again by Paul. I'll read 1 through 16. We'll come back to 13 in a second. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascend mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ can be built up. And then verse 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we get there, this is what he says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of men in their deceiving schemes. Every wind of teaching by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceiving scheme. Instead, speaking truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, growing and building itself up in love as each part does its work. So this idea, and James uses this idea of the rudder of the ship, controls and moves. And it's this little bitty thing is in control. And then Jesus says that if we are grounded, if our source of our souls is Christ, we're then grounded. And then something can't blow against you and just move you out of the way. We are grounded in Him. He says, like infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Blown here and there. We no longer have to live like that. Because we're anchored in Christ. We begin to see things through His point of view. See people His way. Thoughts and ideas that way. We will not be tossed around, it says. And this is brilliant. So now he's talking about Paul's not even talking about the tongue. But then he says, we will then speak the truth in love. We will not be afraid to speak the truth. We won't be ugly. We won't be mean. That's a Southern thing. Ugly. We will not be angry at people. We won't do that. We'll speak the truth. Because the truth is in us. That's the only way to speak the truth. We will support each other. We will grow in our faith. And like James, he attaches it to this idea that we have a job to do. Verse 16, from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So our jobs then is to begin to allow the Scriptures to be our focus, our source. That God begin to move us and not be moved by the waves of our society, by the waves of what the news is telling us, by the waves of those things. That we use Christ as the source of all those things. Next week we're going to be talking about submission and dying to self. Today in our class, we've been talking about salvation and this idea. Today we talked about this idea of death. And when we die in salvation, when we die to ourselves in Christ and then are raised again, and a symbol for that is our baptism. When we are baptized, we die and we rise up again. But we don't rise up as ourselves. The old person's dead. It's gone. It's no longer. We're new. We're different. And then that's the only way for us to be different. You plant this, what grows? If you put a little flower in it and you plant it, what grows? A flower, right? Not poop. Because the poo, the fertilizer, that is now dying. And then the flower grows. So it's not to say we can't be different, because we can. But that difference comes in our salvation. It comes in our focus on Christ. And then it becomes our complete and utter focus, our source. And then when we are dead in Christ, that means that we're completely as the old self gone. Now I'm preaching next week's sermon. So we read. So we study. We take every thought captive and we look at it from this source that we have in Christ. And then it produces good works, words, salvation. When we speak the truth to each other, we do it in a loving way. So what is the content of your soul? What is informing your worldview? What are you putting on the inside? Because that will come out. As good as you might be, as slick as you might be, as good of a politician you might be, it will show. Just let it live out long enough, and it will. So our worship team is going to come. We're going to sing a song called From the Inside Out, which I think is appropriate for today. And my prayer for us is that this would be a challenge for you and for me. That maybe it's time for you to turn off the things that have been informing you. Maybe you need to stop reading your favorite blog for a while. Maybe you need to stop watching your favorite news source for a little while. And begin to think about where your attitude comes from, where your ideas come from. Just begin to capture all those things and all those thoughts and begin to just analyze them critically and go, is that truly of God or is that just something I heard from somebody else? Because everybody has an opinion. But it doesn't mean it's right. Christ should be our source and that alone. Let's pray. God, we thank You today that we have You, that You are willing to come, live, and die for our salvation. God, and then You leave with us Your Word so we can then dwell on it, meditate on it, read it, consume it, so that it can then guide and lead us. God, I pray right now that we would not be thrown back and forth by the world that we live in. God, that we would be anchored in You. That God, when we speak, it's actually from the source that is from You, that it's speaking truth in love, not tearing people down, not speaking in anger and bitterness. Father, I pray that that would be gone. But God, I want to acknowledge today that that is found in You alone. Lord, I pray for anyone who is here today who does not have You as their source, who has not received You as their Savior, that they would believe today that is truly the only way. God, I pray for the rest of us who say that we do follow You. Lord, that we would not begin to looking to other things around us, but we would look to You for the things that we are to know, the things we are to understand, and Father, the things that we are supposed to do. Lord, I pray these things in Your name today. Amen.